Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. We're kicking off the new year talking about big data. This is awesome. Today my guest is Rohit.
Yes.
Rohit from Hortonworks. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Thanks, Scott. My name is Rohit Bakshi. I work at Hortonworks. I'm a product manager there, and I do a lot of work and very close work with Microsoft.
Yep.
So the whole ecosystem of Microsoft Azure, on-premise, SQL Server, PDW, now Analytical Platform Service Systems, all of that work and how we bring Hadoop and integrate into that ecosystem, all that work is where I'm kind of plugged in and work with Microsoft.
And this
excited to be here.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure to have you here because you flew all the way up yesterday from the Bay Area just to be on this show. So this is exciting. So tell us a little bit about, those of you used, understand Hadoop and big data, HD Insights running on is based on Hadoop, from Hortonworks.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what's going on, some of the cool things that Hortonworks is doing.
Absolutely. So so I think a lot of people are aware of HD Insight, right?
Yep.
HD Insight is Hadoop as a service running in Azure.
In Azure,
and it runs the Hortonworks data platform on Windows underneath the covers.
Yep.
It's kind of a service that we work with Microsoft to deploy, and it's available on Azure.
Right.
We're doing a lot of stuff. So we're doing a lot of stuff in HD Insight, and there's a whole exciting stuff coming out there.
Yeah, we got a bunch of shows on that plan, so that's cool stuff.
And we're doing additional stuff where we're saying Azure is a really important platform. There's a lot of people on Azure, and a lot of people who look to Azure as a way to get compute resources, to kind of start off working with data, working with applications. And so one thing that we've done is we said, we're going to offer the Hortonworks data platform as is, kind of as a packaged VM, packaged easy to deploy VM on the Azure Gallery.
Right.
So with the Azure Gallery, you can now, as the customer, as a developer, as someone who wants to try something out, go to Azure, click on a button, and have a deployed cluster of the Hortonworks data platform.
Right.
Completely deployed, and we make it easy, and that's kind of the work we've done with Microsoft to bring that online. Just a few months ago, I think we did a Tech Ed Barcelona. We announced it.
Yeah, that was some cool stuff.
Yeah, so that's one sphere of work where we're really trying to get people enabled in Azure with different types of deployment options, right? The other exciting work is focusing on those customers. We have a lot of customers, a lot of people who are deploying Hadoop in on-premise.
Okay.
Right? Deploying in their data center, they're running their production workloads. They're really making a bet on using Hadoop, which is great for large scale, storage, storing all their data and then running this processing on top of that data.
Right.
In a cost effective manner, right? In a very flexible manner. You can run different types of applications. So people are investing in 50, 100, up to thousands of nodes in their data center running Hadoop, running the Hortonworks data platform. And we want to enable them to say, I have data here that lives in my cluster and I have this for production use. I have a lot of use cases where I have infrastructure that I'm investing in on Azure.
Right.
And I want to extend the capabilities that I have on-premise to integrate and use what's on Azure as well.
So they have a current investment on their Hadoop cluster on-prem.
Yes.
How do we extend that and how can they leverage the benefits of Azure?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. What are the integration points? What can we give them in terms of recipes and kind of a pluggable way to just move data or move compute or move applications? There's all these different integrations that we're really excited about with customers who have investments in Azure and investments on-premise with the Hortonworks data platform.
Cool.
And so we've done some things there, and I'll kind of walk through an example of what we deployed there.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see that. Right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So
let's get started. I was thinking of starting with what we've done on Azure IaaS with the gallery work.
Okay,
So for people who want to follow along at home, there is a tutorial that we wrote up that kind of walks through what we did and how to get started.
Okay.
It really starts with the new Azure Gallery. So I don't know how many of you have seen the new portal. The preview portal, right?
Yep.
It's still in preview right now, but it's really cool. So what they do is there's a bunch of different virtual machines that are available that are not Microsoft virtual machines, but available from different partners, right? And so what we've done is we've made the Hortonworks data platform, so right here, available on Azure. So it's certified, which means that you don't have to worry about it. Is it going to run? Is it going to deploy? You just click on it, have it deployed,
deploy
and start using, just like you would use Hadoop on-premise, deploying a Hortonworks data platform. Now you have the ability to deploy that same thing on
Azure
IaaS, right?
Okay.
And so it's kind of this flexible, you control it, you deploy it.
So unlike in the portal, you can say, okay, I'm going to spin up a kind of a platform as a service cluster, right? This is, I want to spin up a bunch of IaaS nodes.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
It runs Hortonworks that I can actually control and log into.
Exactly. You can go into each and every IaaS node. You can do different things. You can add, after you're done with setting up the cluster, you can say, okay, I'm going to create a few new additional IaaS nodes and install the bits and then connect them.
Yep.
So it gives you more flexibility, but it's also more hands-on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that trade-off.
If you need that control,
exactly.
Right, yes.
Exactly. You can choose different size of VM. So let me show you an example. So if I select the Hortonworks data platform here, right, I get to this page where it kind of gives you an overview of what Hortonworks is and what the data Hortonworks data platform is. It's the 100% open source Hadoop platform that anyone can download.
Gives you the foundation kind of.
Exactly. So if I click create, now I get this point where you basically set up how you're going to access your IIS nodes and how you're going to, and what configuration you want Hadoop to be in.
Okay.
So taking a step back, right, Hadoop is a very flexible software platform. It's basically software that connects a bunch of different physical nodes or virtual nodes and provides one common storage and one common processing platform across all those nodes.
Cool.
So with IIS, what we've done is we've given you kind of two paths that you can take. One is I want to evaluate Hadoop. I want to evaluate Hadoop, so I'm going to kind of choose a small cluster size, lower powered, some smaller VMs that kind of fits into the 20 core limit that a lot of starting off Azure customers, right? When they start off, they get 20
cores. Give me a kind of a sandbox, a playground.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you choose the evaluation option, you get five standard A3 size VMs, which really fits nicely into that 20 core limit, and it'll deploy a 5-node cluster.
Cool.
With two nodes, that's your master services, and then three worker nodes that run your storage and your processing, data nodes, node managers, region servers for each base.
Okay.
So you're all your worker nodes. Or you could choose the standard. And the standard here means I'm not going to allow you as a user to kind of customize and choose how you want to run. How powerful you want your cluster to be.
Yeah.
So here you can go anywhere between, and this is a really cool part of what the portal lets you do. You can choose any of these VMs for your masters and worker configurations.
Okay.
And it's really important for your workers because your workers are your powerhouse of storage and processing. So if I, looking at the worker configuration, you can choose how many of them, how many worker nodes you want. You can go from 6 as the minimum to 42. So you can have 42 node Hadoop cluster running on Azure.
Okay.
In, spun up. So let's say 9. And here you get to choose the type of VMs that you want powering those 9 worker nodes. The choices here, A7, A8, A9, basically give you faster disks, give you more memory, give you more cores, and what that really does is more compute, which basically lets you choose, how heavy are your workloads going to be? Yep. Are they going to be memory heavy? Are they not going to be? So you can kind of make that choice according to how you do it. And there's a lot of different calculators and stuff that you can use to figure that out. And once you choose it, what I like here as well is you can get an idea of the pricing summary of what the I'm going to select this, say 9 nodes of A9, and then you can get a pricing summary to kind of get an idea of, on a monthly basis, what's the cost going to be. So it's really good for just getting started and getting into using big data on Azure IaaS.
Perfect. So it'll give you an idea. This is what it's going to cost you based on your configuration, what it's going to,
And then basically create it, and once you create it, I've actually created a cluster, so we can go to that. What it does is it spins up a bunch of virtual machines. So what this process does is abstracts you away from the process of actually creating a bunch of virtual machines on IIS, then installing the software, then setting up the security permissions and everything. It takes care of that. It's all part of the process.
Okay.
And so what we do is we use Azure's platform to do that, and we use the Hortonworks data platform has Ambari, which is a way to operate. It's an operational fabric for deploying, managing, and monitoring Hadoop.
Okay.
And it also has this cool capability called Ambari Blueprints, where you can actually say, I want these set of services to be deployed on a flexible number of worker nodes and master nodes. And it's kind of pre-configured where on a click of a button, it gets automatically deployed. You don't actually have to go in and keep setting it. So it'll kind of figure out how many worker nodes you chose and all that stuff, and it'll just go off from there.
Yes. So almost hands off, right? Click and deploy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, can you change any of these sizes once they're deployed, or is it?
Once they're deployed, you want to keep them the same size.
The same size,
It's a good question. I, a lot of, a lot of the use cases we see for people who are deploying, they'll deploy a set of VMs and then with Hadoop deployed on them. And then to add capacity, they'll actually add nodes, new VMs.
Right.
And so Hadoop is very horizontally, it's meant to horizontally scale out, so you don't really change what you have in terms of individual nodes.
They're not going to go from an A8 to A9. They'll just continue to add nodes.
And you can add A10s or A9s. You can add more beefier nodes and then configure those to be more kind of in a heterogeneous way, more powerful.
Okay.
That's the way to scale up if you want more storage and more compute power.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you'll see here, a bunch of VMs, master VMs that have been created, and then worker nodes that have been created. And then what you get is, this is Ambari running on the first. This is a web server, so Ambari is a web server that kind of plugs into the operational fabric, and it's running on the first master.
Okay.
And so all I've done is gone to, you know, made sure, and this is actually done automatically. If I go back here,
so master 01, so you're going to go to,
yeah, so this sets up an endpoint where it actually ensures that you have the Ambari server port open.
Yep.
And so that's the only one that gets set up automatically.
Just on the first
All
master.
The other ones, yeah, you have to do, you kind of control your security permissions, right? How you want people to log in. And then you have all the services that are part of the Hortonworks data platform, right? You have storage, compute, Yarn. Okay. You have HBase for NoSQL, so a lot of the similar services that you see in HD Insight as well.
Storm,
right?
Look at Storm, all that great stuff.
Complex event processing framework, and then you have the monitoring and kind of the framework that Ambari relies on to show you different metrics, show you hardware utilization, virtual machine hardware utilization.
So a nice dashboard for how's my cluster going?
Yeah.
How's my cluster?
Yeah.
What's the utilization of my cluster?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And just to show you, right, all the existing, the same services that you're used to using on on-premise clusters and are all available here as well. So you can go and see, the running jobs from a Yarn perspective. You can go look at the name node UI, and all of these different UIs are available as part of the deployment. One thing to call out is that to enable these, right, so these are all running on, let me open this. So the name node and different master services are deployed across different machines, right? And so to actually enable access to them through the browser, you'll go and individually say, I want to enable this, I'm going to create, you create an endpoint. So this is what this is for this cluster, right?
Yeah.
So you can do that and kind of control which endpoints of Hadoop you want available.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All under your control from IIS.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Excellent. Now, so maybe not to put you on the spot, but I'm gonna. Is there the ability? Because we talked a little bit about, can I extend my on-prem to the cloud? So we know that through like things like virtual networks, I can create. Is there a way? Could I say, well, I want to add. I don't want to add more capacity on-prem.
Yes.
I want to add capacity in the cloud.
Yes.
But then. Essentially join those two.
Is
that possible? Because I know like you can do through virtual networks and VPNs kind of, do a domain join, right?
You can, and it's an interesting question, right? And the goal here is that you want to extend your compute power for different types of processing that you run, where it's, if you're not limited or you don't want to invest more in your data set and you want to use the investments you have in Azure, you want a seamless way of growing the capacity, right?
Yep.
How it breaks down technically is that you'll have two clusters, but those clusters are interconnected and have a way to move. And I'll show you an example of how we move data seamlessly.
So it's all about data movement.
Data movements, applications, write once, run in different places. And so that's kind of the model of how you enable that kind of environment. And we see this with different customers where we'll have bursting of processing on cloud environments, cloud deployments, right? It's the same code, it's the same application that's been written.
That makes sense.
And the data is kept in sync and kept replicated. So there's ways of that's definitely a scenario that we're seeing more and more, and it's a very powerful way of maximizing your money, right?
Exactly.
And investment.
I don't want to have to go buy all this hardware that's gonna that's gonna amortize over time I have to upgrade in 3 years.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
But I know I can leverage the cloud.
Absolutely.
So it's, but what I don't want to do is, I'm going to spin up this massive cluster in the cloud and then have to go through and domain join every single one through virtual networks, things like that.
Yep.
But if it's all about data movement and saying, you know, write once, you know, process in multiple locations, then that adds value, right?
Absolutely. And then this is the two things that we do in Microsoft and Hortonworks work closely on this is data movement to make it seamless so that you don't have to worry and think about where your data, what the specific data that you want to be in the cloud to be available there.
Right.
As well as it's all the same APIs. It's all the same platform, right? It's Hadoop. It's the same version of open source
Hadoop. So there's no rewriting.
It's using the same tools. It's using the same APIs.
Okay, perfect.
And that's how we kind of enable that scenario.
Okay,
and
this is excellent.
Good question.
Good. This is excellent because I think this says, okay, great. I've got the. I already have this investment, but I want to do that data. You know, I want to do that bursting because I don't want to add, but let me burst and let me do this data movement. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is very nice.
Yeah. So we can go to the data movement side of things to show you what that looks
great
like.
Great segue.
So here, let me do this. Let me switch browser windows. And so here again, you know, we have a tutorial that I'll point out for anyone who's really interested in how to set this up and kind of the background of this.
Okay.
What we're really doing here is that, just like you talked about, right? I want to burst capacity. I want to burst processing. I want to use my investments in the cloud. And there's two different scenarios here.
Yeah.
One is disaster recovery, actually, right? I have an investment in a data center.
Yeah.
Huge and now scenario. I have a secure, reliable platform in Azure that's backed up that I know is reliable, right?
Yep.
To many nines. I'm going to use that for my DR capability. Yep. Instead of investing in another data center, I'm going to say my second data center is Azure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so how do you enable that for certain data sets that are critical to your enterprise make sure that they are safely backed up and available for recovering or for use in Azure?
Yeah. Right? Huge scenario that we're really trying to push hard, right?
Yep.
Because we have a lot of customers that pay a lot of money on these secondary data centers that all they use it for is data replication.
Yes.
Very little access, right?
They're
not reading, you know, or they may do read from it, but they're really using it from a DR scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. Absolutely. Why don't we leverage the cloud instead of paying a lot of money for that? We can leverage, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The cloud for that.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And so that's one scenario. And another scenario, just I had this to kind of describe it. One is DR. The other is also just publishing data, right? So this is now, if I'm bursting compute and I'm bursting certain workloads, right? I'm doing, let's say, a continuous batch processing of data coming in from my different factories if I have a supply chain, right? And I'm doing that processing on my cluster because that's where I'm collecting the data.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to do some machine learning modeling. I want to do some analytics on top of it. And I have people all over the world who can run those code and interact with those queries.
Mm-hmm.
Why not use Azure for that?
And
so now you're saying, I do my ETL and my processing of all the supply chain data coming into my data center, let's say. I'm now going to publish kind of the transformed view of that data for all my worldwide information workers, data scientists, to work with that and use Azure and use Hadoop running in Azure.
Perfect.
To kind of process that data. So I'm going to take targeted data sets and publish that to the cloud.
And that answers so many scenarios that people run into today, right? Endless scenarios. And so I think this solves a lot of the current problems that a lot of the big data companies are having from the big data problems.
Absolutely. So this is kind of a lot on one slide, but it's, there's companies because Hadoop is a scalable storage and processing, right? And it's very flexible, which means you can have different business groups and different users in different business groups run, kind of interact with the same data set, the same grand data set that your enterprise has, as well as run different types of processing on top of it. So then what happens is that you have all these different workflows that are running in your Hadoop cluster, operating on different data sets, moving it from a raw to a processed, ready for analysis, ready for visualization. And so all this happens, it can happen in the data center, but really thinking about the cloud and Azure as an extension, part of it's going to happen in Azure as well. So the same workflow, the same process, there's going to be parts of it running in a data center, there's going to be parts of it running in Azure.
Right.
And it could start in Azure, go to the data center, go back up. There's many different combinations here, right? That you can.
A lot of flexibility. How do you want to run your processes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a big area where we're making investments, and Falcon is an open source project, part of the Apache community that really provides that data lifecycle management orchestration for data across the workflow, different types of processing all hooked together, provide you lineage and audit capabilities across those different pieces.
Excellent.
And so it really enables, and with Azure, right, now we have the ability to say, ask my data flows through a process, a defined process that I'm running every single day in my enterprise. I'm going to start replicating or publishing, however you want to think about it, data sets in different stages of that life cycle to Azure.
That makes sense. Yeah. Right? Yep.
And so now I enable those analysts who want to run queries and run processing in from processing workloads in Azure by publishing certain data sets. And I'm also doing DR and protecting my, you know, if I have maintained 7 years of regulatory compliance for banks and for healthcare systems, right? And I can start replicating that data and doing DR in Azure.
Okay.
Right?
Beautiful.
And so the way we do that is through using Falcon. And this is kind of it's a new capability. So we just, a month ago, released HDB, the Hortonworks Data Platform 2.2.
Okay.
So it's our latest release with a lot of goodness. One of the key areas that we invested in is around Azure backup.
Okay.
Incremental backup. And so what this tutorial will walk through is basically taking our sandbox, which is an on-premise kind of a virtual machine that you can download and install on your computer. It runs on Hyper-V, so you can run it on your Windows laptop.
Yep.
And you can use that to kind of experiment and see how this works. So it's a great learning tool.
So you don't have to have anything on-premise. We can just log into your sandbox and play with the little sandbox.
You can get the download the virtual machine and it's all set up. Everything's installed and ready to go. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like what we did on Azure IaaS. You have a single virtual machine you can download on your laptop.
Download and
so it helps developers who want to run something locally.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's a developer tool and a learning tool.
Okay.
So basically it takes that, and in this tutorial what we do is we use Falcon to set up a replication for one data set.
Okay.
So you choose a data set in the workflow and say, this is important data to me. I want to make sure it's replicated on Azure Blob Storage. It's actually going directly to the Blob Storage without the need for any processing to happen on Azure. So you can just have, to Blob Storage. Yeah,
okay.
It's very low cost. It's really great solution for DR.
Yeah.
And for publishing a data set, then in all these different processing frameworks on Azure, right? Machine learning. There's all these different tools from Azure that run off of data on Blob Storage. So it's
very nice.
So once you get the data in there, it becomes very useful to customers and enterprises that have investments.
Yeah, because you can process
Azure.
That from anywhere. Almost.
Exactly, exactly. So the way we do that, and let's just kind of show you kind of the technical steps of setting that up. One, you know, basic scenario and thing to do is make sure that you have a Blob Store set up, right?
Yep.
So I have a storage account. And then I have two containers, and I'm actually using the WASP demo container for this demo.
Mm-hmm.
So I've set up those containers, and then you know we've seen this. So this is the Embari screen going back to that. Think of this as an on-premise Embari cluster, right? Hortonworks Data Platform cluster. I'm going to tell Embari how to interact. Tell Hortonworks Data Platform on-premise how to interact with Azure Blob Store, right? The way I do that. So HDFS for people who are new to Hadoop, HDFS is the Hadoop distributed file system. It's the storage layer that is extracted across all your machines.
Yeah, all the nodes across.
All the nodes are available as storage. So it's a really powerful, flexible way of utilizing distributed storage. It's a distributed file system.
Right.
HDFS is, you know, it's a file system that stores data on the individual nodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a software layer for managing data.
Okay.
And when you think of it that way, you have data stored on the physical nodes or virtual nodes that HDFS is installed on.
Mm-hmm.
You also have data living on other file systems, and HDFS provides an abstraction to be able to say, I can talk to those file systems, and I can help you move data around. So it's kind of a software abstraction of storage layer. It's very flexible. The whole Hadoop stack is very pluggable, the way it's designed. So what we've done, this is an example of how Embari lets you configure your cluster. I have added, like the swipeability of the Surface Pro, I've actually added a configuration that tells HDFS what my name of my storage account, and then basically
what
the key is. Yeah.
Yep.
So once that's set up, that's really all you have to do.
That's it.
The bits and everything of how to interact with Azure Blob Storage are all included in open source Apache Hadoop and part of the Hortonworks platform.
Cool. So you're really just telling, here's my Azure Blob Storage account, and there's the container it's in.
Yeah, and all you're doing is hitting a plus button and saying, add this property. Yep. So once that's set up, Then I'm going to go to my Falcon dashboard, and I actually have a feed set up where I have emails coming in, and it's being stored on HDFS, and it's being processed, and then it's my raw email feed. And I want to, you know, the scenario here is I want to back that up and make sure that the raw emails that are coming in are replicated to
Blob Storage.
To Blob Storage.
Yeah.
So this is an instantiation of that feed.
Okay.
And so this is an XML representation of what the definition of the feed, right? So there is a source, primary cluster, and a backup cluster. Primary cluster is where the data is living. So the data is actually, the emails are coming in the Enron data set. It's a good example that we use with the sandbox. And it's stored in this format. So so it's coming in, and every hour there's new data coming in. And we organize it in a way where you can manage it according to the time that's coming in.
Cool.
And then we set up a backup cluster.
Okay.
In this, and define the blob store as the target of that backup cluster.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, so it's coming into primary cluster, and this is
it's the coming, kind of, yes. It's
here's
storing
where I'm backing it up to, yep.
In my HDFS cluster.
In this
cluster.
Format.
Yeah.
Storing in a blob store.
And then I'm just saying, take that, use this organizational structure, and replicate it, mirror it, incrementally replicate it to Azure Blob Store.
Perfect.
That's really there. And now we have the setup, and we made sure that this data set is running.
Okay.
Which means that now data has come in. You know, in my example, I've already set this up where emails have been coming in.
Okay.
And so, if I go to Blob Store, those emails, once this loads, are now going and being stored in my raw email, in the raw email directory in that.
By hour.
By hour, by, yeah, exactly, yeah. By hour. For those kind of familiar with how you can interact with the HDFS CLI, in terms of managing storage, right? Here what I'm gonna do is I'm going to show you, let me see where that data set is. Let's go back to that feed definition, right? So here it's user Ambari, this is where my data set lives. So on HDFS, which is the local file system on premise, right? This is where my
all the emails are stored.
Kind of the first location where it's being stored, and then being powering different processing on top of it, right? So I have different all these different hours and months of data that's being stored.
Okay.
The same thing is also, you can see, and this is the software abstraction layer, right? I can actually query it, I can actually list and do file system commands from HDFS because it has the ability to understand how to talk to Azure Blob Store, are being replicated on the same hour thing to the Azure Blob Storage.
Perfect.
So to HDFS and to Hadoop, they're just two different file system instantiations.
Yeah.
But the same, they know how to talk to each other. So it's actually really easy to kind of integrate the Blob Store into processing and data movement into Hadoop.
So now when you spin up that cluster and the IaaS cluster, you point it to
Blob Store. You can move data.
There's your data movement. Now you have data processing across local and the cloud without the extra cost on prem. This is beautiful because now it's there's very little configuration. There's my Azure Blob Storage. Yep. Done, it's automatically replicated. Yep. Like you were saying, the same API, the same code, same infrastructure is working on both, and so you don't have to learn really anything else.
Yeah.
This is very good.
Awesome.
I think the key here that people can take away from this is that if you've got investments on-prem with Hadoop, you want to do that, data movement. Mm-hmm. If you want to do that shunting of move and leveraging the cloud for from some of that to process some of that workload. Mm-hmm. This is really easy to do.
Yes.
Right, and that's the key here is that it's not hard to do. This is very easy, and it gives you a cost of like you showed. It gives you cost of what this would cost you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you? I was gonna ask this earlier. Can you? Just like typical IaaS, can you shut that down and spin it back up, or if you don't want to incur that cost over time, can you turn those off? Just say stop, start type of scenario.
That's a good question.
Just from like the HD Insight. Okay, I'm done. Yeah. Right.
And what HD Insight does is it pushes all, it uses BOPSR as its primary primary mechanism, right? So if you were to, in the IaaS scenario, push out your data.
Yeah.
So the IaaS actually is set up to use HDFS as the primary storage system because you have these things spun up.
Yep.
You can push the data out to WSB, right? To Windows Azure Blob Storage. And then when you shut down your cluster, spin it back up, pull that data back in, and then process it.
Okay.
So there are you can use that mechanism to do that.
Okay, yeah, just from it's great. I think this is fantastic, right? Because there's certain some great possibilities and great flexibility here.
Yep.
But I think there's going to be some if I spin this up.
Yep.
You know, I'm not using it. Can I just like I can a virtual machine kind of turn it off, right? Yep. But I think there's ability to say, you know what? Let me get rid of it.
Yep.
Move things out to blob storage.
And then pull it back in.
Then pull it back in.
Which is what we see a lot of. I mean, with the cloud, the flexibility from an operational perspective, quickly spinning up and spinning down and not worrying about servers sitting idle, that's where blob storage comes in, right? And that spread really helps you give that persistent data outside of the cluster. And then you can bring it back in and you can interact with it.
And it's awesome to see how easy it is to work with Hadoop and Hortonworks and the technologies and Falcon and things like that to really make it easy to work with these technologies and where Hortonworks and Azure work very well seamlessly together, and that's key for those that are watching. It's just very easy to work with.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Which I really like.
And we're constantly doing more to make it even easier. Right. It's empowering a whole new set of users to make that seamless to move data in between on premise and in the cloud.
Yeah.
And that's the future. The future is both platforms, both infrastructure platforms, and we want to work. We're working closely with Microsoft to make sure that it's a seamless experience.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah,
Rohit, thank you so much for
coming. Absolutely,
this is great
this
stuff.
Fun.
So
yeah.
hopefully this was beneficial to you. We'd love to have you back to talk more about things that Hortonworks are doing.
Sure.
So anyway, thanks for coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Everybody, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks.